A third author we want to include in our conversation about AI, artificial intelligence, and the theology of the body is Dr. Carissa Velis. She is a professor of philosophy at Oxford, and unsurprisingly, is very articulate, thoughtful, and kind. And she also did not mince words. And of our three interlocutors so far, she's the toughest and the most pessimistic about AI. Is it only a coincidence that the one person in favor of AI was a white male who teaches business, while the two pessimists are minority females, an Indian reporter and a Hispanic philosopher? Professor Velis gives numerous examples where biases are evident in AI results. She writes in her book, written in 2026, called Prophecy. Another reason algorithms are unfair is that most of these algorithms are fed with historical data, and racism is baked into it. She continues, predictive algorithms, those that try to tell what's going to happen next, identify correlations, and not being white is associated with having fewer opportunities. Carissa Velis is arguing that we should learn from history, as AI does, because data is typically historical, but we should not get stuck in the past. Like the old definition of insanity, you keep doing the same thing and hoping for a different result. The full title of Professor Velis's book, though, Prophecy, Prediction, Power, and the Fight for the Future from Ancient Oracles to AI, suggests a darker and more sinister reason for AI, namely dominance, or the word she frequently uses is despotism. She explains how predicting what you and I will do next is highly lucrative. She says, in the data economy, we are being surveilled. Our data is feeding the machine deciding our future. She gets more specific. Data brokers all over the world have a data file on you. It contains information like your name, age, gender, income, education, and occupation. Data brokers, she says, track family life events like marriages, divorces, funerals, and pregnancies. They track your location, which allows them to know where you live, where you work, how well you drive. Fort Smith drivers are in big trouble. Whether you are buying drugs or going to a psychologist or attending a family planning clinic, whether you're having an affair, through patterns like two phones coming together in a hotel every week. And here's the financial ROI for all this surveillance and data mining. She goes on. They then add value by predicting what you will do next and selling that to the highest bidder. Recently, I was talking to several priests about why it takes the Pope sometimes a long time to appoint a new bishop to a diocese. One priest remarked along the lines of Professor Velis's point, saying, some priests turn down episcopal appointments because unlike the past, when sins were forgiven and forgotten, today sins are forgiven and never forgotten. Now, all that sounds pretty bad. But Professor Valise goes even further by arguing AI is being used not only to make money, but to consolidate power. She insists the act of surveillance is an act of despotism. She elaborates, surveillance creates asymmetries of power because the surveilled, you and I on our phones, is at the mercy of the watcher, AI. The more information the watcher, AI, has on their subject, the more power they have over them, and the easier it becomes to predict and influence their behavior. There is no surveillance for the sake of it. Surveillance makes no sense without prediction and an intention to control. She cites the totalitarian regimes of the Soviet Union and China as illustrations of the striking similarities between authoritarian states and authoritarian corporations. Sort of makes you want to go live on Gilligan's Island, doesn't it? Once again, the theology of the body comes to our rescue and helps us to separate the wheat from the chaff of artificial intelligence. On the one hand, AI can be like wheat in that it surveils us. How so? Well, surveillance doesn't have to be creepy. For example, parents diligently surveil their babies, gawking at every move, taking pictures of their first steps, even putting cameras in the corner of the bedroom in case something goes wrong at night. Young lovers surveil each other while on romantic dates and cannot take their eyes off of each other or their hands. They cannot bear to be apart for a moment. God, for his part, like an anxious parent, is constantly vigilant for his children. Psalm 139 asks, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." It is good to be super sensitive, therefore, to AI's constant surveillance, because it reminds us of God's omnipresence and omniscience, his loving gaze. But John Paul also reminds us God does not surveil us for the sake of dominating us, but rather for the sake of dying for us as a spouse. John Paul touches on one of the touchiest passages of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, which reads, "Wives, be subject to your husbands, as you are to the Lord." You know how all brides love to plaster that Bible verse on their wedding cake. The Pope Saint, however, immediately clarifies. When St. Paul expresses himself in this way, he does not intend to say that the husband is the master of the wife and that the interpersonal covenant proper to marriage is a contract of domination by the husband over the wife. Then the Holy Father adds a little later, this relationship is not one-sided submission. Husband and wife, in fact, are subject to one another, mutually subordinated to one another. And then he reveals the roots of this mutual submission, husband to wife, wife to husband, saying, Christ is the source and at the same time the model of that submission, which confers on the conjugal union a deep and mature character. In other words, if we want to know why God surveils us, We only have to look at the cross. God watches over us, not to dominate us, but to die for us. That death to self is how Jesus loves his bride, the church. He can't keep his eyes or his hands off of us. And that death to self is how husbands and wives should love each other. And that dynamic is the exact opposite of how AI interacts with us. In other words, AI surveils us to dominate us. Jesus surveils us to die for us. Praised be Jesus Christ.